3:13. This one is entitled, A Gospel of Power. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that with your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of power. The supernatural work of the Holy Spirit becomes active eternity when the truth is proclaimed. When men rely on manipulation through fancy phrases or emotional displays, devoid of truth, no lasting spiritual work is accomplished. Some ministers move people by well-timed phrase or a drummed-up vision. These promise the moon, but do not have the power to cross the street. No lives are changed, but when preachers get down to work and lift up the Lord and his sacrifice on Calvary, the miraculous begins to happen. Sinners' chains are effectively broken. The bruised of body, soul, and spirit are set free. Demons tremble as God sweeps on the scene. There is healing, salvation, deliverance, and life-changing dynamic power for those who will believe. Preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit is still God's premier method, not concerts, talk shows, or psychologists. The cross of Christ is still God's message. Paul determined to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. He knew that this was the only message that would enable the faith of the people of God to stand in the power of God. If we truly desire God's people to walk in victorious power, then we must do the same. Well, without further ado, we know she came prepared. I've never heard a message where she doesn't come prepared 2,000%. She didn't come in here to wing it. But she came in here to follow the presence of Almighty God. So without further ado, we'll welcome Miss Diana.
Let me see. Is my mic on? Did I turn it on? Hold on. I'm coming. No, I don't think I have it right. Wait, I'm electronically not prepared. I am on? Oh, okay. All right, okay. All right. I'm really kind of proud of myself because I usually need all kind of help. And so we on, and that's good. I don't know. When I see Pastor Joe just kind of whip that thing on, and I'm like, I wish maybe one day I'll be like that. I don't know. It takes me a while. But anyway, I am extremely honored to be able to be here with y'all. I thank y'all for coming out to hear what the Lord has to say to us today. And I thank those that are watching, either now or later on, who will be watching the message. And I'm hoping and praying, it's my prayer, that not one person's going to leave the same way they came. If the message is not for you, it's for someone you know. I can promise you that. The title of my message of the... Oh, I'm sorry. I got to pray first. I'm sorry. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for this opportunity. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you put your hand over my mouth, that you fill my mouth with your words, that you help me to say what you want me to say the way you want me to say it, not less and not more. But Father God, I ask in the name of Jesus that your anointing be upon me and that it would penetrate the hearts of the listeners. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're ready. The title of the message that I have is, Who is Living in Your Spiritual House? In our ladies' Bible study, when I read the commentary to a particular, well-known scripture, it just really got my attention. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 43 and 45 first, and then I'm going to come back and read the commentary that really got my attention in verse 44. Verse 43, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, and listen to all these words very, very carefully. When the unclean spirit goes out of a man, he, the unclean spirit, walks through dry places seeking rest and finding none. Verse 44, then he, the unclean spirit, says, I will return into my house from whence I came out. That's important. And when he, the evil spirit, has come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Verse 45, then goes he, the evil spirit, and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Now, in verse 44, I'm going to read it again with what really caught my attention. Because I've read about the scripture that says it wants to return, and when it returned, the house was empty. But I've never seen this kind of commentary, and it really caught my attention. It says, then he, the unclean spirit, and this is the commentary in part, says, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he, the evil spirit, has come, he finds it empty. And this is what got my attention. Empty of the Spirit of God. Swept, the commentary says, clean of the things of God, meaning there was nothing of God left. And garnished, the commentary says, filled with religious ritual. That's the foundation of the message today. In Luke chapter 11, you don't need to, well, you can go there, but I'm going to read the last, it's a parallel scripture to what I just read you, but there's something in the commentary that really got my attention, so I wanted us to read it. Luke 11 and 24 through 26 basically says what I just read, but the commentary is a little bit different in 26, so I want to read it. Then goes he and takes to him seven other spirits. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, hold on a second. Yes. Then goes he and takes to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And the commentary says concerns the reoccupation by demon spirits. The reoccupation. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So this is what I want us to take a look at. First of all, in verse 43, we can tell by the way that reads that at some point, this man had been delivered from the unclean spirit. Meaning that the unclean spirit was no longer residing in his spiritual house. Also in verse 43, we can see that the unclean spirit that had been delivered out of that man's spiritual house was looking for a house that he could go into, and he could not find one. So he was looking. Verse 44, we see that the unclean, and now I'm going to put slash evil spirit, because now they're also talking about the evil spirit, which is unclean and evil is the same thing. Decided that he would go back to the house that he came out of. That's important. Okay, because think about this. He came out of a man. He's looking for a place to go. He finds none, and he decides, well, I'm going to try where I came from. I'm going to try that house again. So also in verse 44, we see that when he did return to the house that he had come out of, he found that it was now empty of the Spirit of God. that it was swept clean of the things of God, that there was nothing left of God in that man's spiritual house. That is a very sad, it's very sad to envision. In verse 45, we see not only was the unclean slash evil spirit free to reoccupy that man's spiritual house, but he was also able to go and get seven other spirits even more wicked than himself, and they all entered into that man's spiritual house. We also see in verse 45 that the last state of that man was worse than the first. Now, over the years I've heard, when we talk about these set of scriptures, I've heard people say that they were seven times worse. Well, you know what hit me was that, wait, this is eight spirits. The one that was already there but left, he took seven more. So it's eight times. If you want to multiply, it would be eight times worse, right? Because you have eight spirits that are not of God. Now, I would like for each of us at this point, if you have to, just close your eyes. But I want you to think for just a moment on what we were like before we asked Jesus into our hearts, before we were filled with his Holy Spirit, before we were delivered and set free, before the sanctification process began. I think every one of us in this room and those watching who have received the Lord can remember that day like it was yesterday. Well, think about what state you were in at that time. Now, I don't know about you, but there's no way I want to see myself eight times worse, if you want to say it, than I was then. I didn't like that person. I surely wouldn't have liked her right now. Well, I probably wouldn't even be in church, to be honest. I was partying it pretty hard. So I thank the Lord that he had mercy on me. He didn't have to do it. He had mercy on me. Amen. So now we're going to ask this question. How does a person go from receiving Jesus into their heart, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being delivered and set free, entering into the process of sanctification? And I'm not talking about perfection there. When we accept Jesus into our hearts, he begins the work in us. But we're going to undergo that work until we draw our last breath or Jesus comes for us. We live in this world. We may not be of this world, but we do live in this world. And every day there's things that try to trip us up. Satan wants to pull us back away from God to having their spiritual house emptied of the Spirit of God, to having it swept clean of the things of God, to having nothing left of God in their spiritual house, to being filled with unclean, evil, demon spirits. And the answer is simple. It's little by little. Nobody backs away, and you're probably not going to like this word, but this is the word that we're talking about. The word is backsliding. Nobody backslides overnight. Backsliding is started, it starts in our hearts, and it continues long before we're out of church. Out of church is kind of like the last thing. And that got me to thinking about the story about the frog in the pot of water. Now, I Googled it because I wanted to see what it said. But it tells me that it's not really real, that frogs don't do that. But we can't. It's a perfect example because listen to this. It tells of a frog being slowly boiled alive. The premise is that if a frog is put suddenly into boiling water, it will jump out. But if the frog is put into lukewarm water, which is then brought to a boil slowly, it will not perceive the danger and will be cooked to death. And that is what this is talking about. It's a parallel to that. And the story is often used as a metaphor for the inability or unwillingness of people to react to or be aware of sinister threats that arise gradually rather than suddenly. You see, and we're going to talk about some scriptures, and then we're going to come back to this story because I want to bring it around. And I'm just going to say right here, When Satan comes suddenly, it's loud, it's hard, it's chaos. We can recognize that. But when he comes in, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, as an angel of light with his deception, it is slow. He is very patient. He's going to wait until that water's hot. But we don't know it because why? We're relaxed in the lukewarm water. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to be reading verses 12 and 13, and I am going to read the commentary in part, but I'll let you know when it's the commentary part. You know, I know that we do have to be careful about commentaries because they are somebody's opinion. So I do choose very carefully what I share with y'all. But I think commentaries can help us to understand what the word is saying. Is everybody there? Okay, it says, wherefore let him who thinks he stands, which is addressed to all believers, take heed lest he fall. You see, pride can tell us that we're in one place when that's not where we are at all. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And the commentary says, refers to the limitations God has placed upon Satan respecting that which he can or cannot do. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Now, I'm going to stop right there for a minute because I want to say two things. When we're going through things that are very difficult, and everybody goes through them, once we became a Christian, life's not going to be easier. It's going to be harder because now we're swimming upstream. But I would rather be going upstream with the Lord than going downstream with the world. And when we think that we're the only ones going through a certain thing, Satan can convince us that nobody can understand because they haven't been through it. Listen, God allows things to happen in our lives so we can develop compassion. We can, when we pray for somebody or we have a friend, we can put ourselves in their place. We're not going to be the kind of Christian who's going to want to hit people over the head with the word. We see their point. We may not agree with the direction they're in, but we see what they have in mind. So don't think, and right there I also want to say, it's dangerous because Satan wants to isolate us. Because if he can isolate us, he has us. If we don't think we have one friend, if we think God's not with us, then why continue? You see, we need to be on guard about that. And when we feel like we're the only ones and nobody could possibly know what we're going through, that's a red flag right there. Now, the commentary says, we have his promise, all temptation is overcome by our faith remaining constant in Christ and the cross, which gives the power of the Holy Spirit to help us. But will the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it? And the commentary says, as stated, the way of escape is always the cross. And that's what we need. You know, I know Pastor Joe talks a lot about the cross. But listen, that is where everything flows from. That's what Jesus did for us. He did so we could be reconciled to God. There was a gap there. And now we are reconnected to him. But that wouldn't happen without Jesus dying on the cross. So the cross is very important, and we have to keep that in mind. Now, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. We're going to go there next. So starting in verse 8, be sober. The commentary says mentally self-controlled. Be vigilant. The commentary says awake and watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. The commentary says we are faced with a powerful adversary whom, the devil, resists steadfast in the faith. And the commentary says the faith always refers to what Jesus did at the cross. Our faith must be ever anchored in that finished work, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. And the commentary says every true Christian faces the onslaught of the evil one. And you see that there again, we need to get that deep into our minds and our hearts, that everybody goes through trials and tribulations. Nobody's exempt, nobody's immune. And there's a purpose for everything. God's word says that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Anything that God does take us through, I say through because it's not here to stay, is going to be for our good. And it's going to have a purpose. It may take us a long time to find out what that is, but if we will hold on, we will find out. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So we just read about how Satan goes about like a roaring lion. In this verse, it says, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And the commentary says this means he pretends to be that which he is not. Now, going back to the story about the frog. So, like the story goes, if the water was hot, if the storm was raging, if the attack was severe, we will recognize Satan. And we won't stand for it. Okay, but we see in 2 Corinthians 11:14, he comes as an angel of light. And that means sweet talking. That's what happened to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Now, it's very interesting to know, see, God told Adam what not to do. So where does Satan go? He goes to Eve to cause her to question what's been said. Not only that, she's by herself. He didn't go to Adam and Eve. He went to Eve. That's the most dangerous part when we're by ourselves. Because we are left to believe the lies that he's telling us. And I'm telling you, without the Holy Spirit, we will not be able to recognize it. Now, right there, what I want us to do, I am skipping for a minute, Joe. I want us to go to Ecclesiastes 4, and I'm going to read 9 through 10. The Bible says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help him up. You see, we all need someone. We need a best friend, a spouse, a brother, a sister. We need someone. We cannot be alone and serve God. We should not be alone and serve God, I want to say, because we will not be successful. Because we don't have, Satan is very, very, very shrewd. And we don't have the ability to catch all of his tactics. The Holy Spirit will let us know, but that's why we have to stay at the cross. Because the Holy Spirit is a result of the cross, and it flows from the cross. And the other scripture I want us to read, and I want you to just hold on for a minute as I read this, because, you know, we hear this often, and people think that, you know, they may get tired of hearing it. But I want to break that down for us a little bit, because this goes in line with the same thing. Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm going to read it with the commentary. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. The commentary says, that which will naturally follow true faith in the cross. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And the commentary says, it is important that believers assemble together, however the meeting might be conducted. But exhorting one another, and the commentary says, encouraging one another in the faith. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. And the commentary says, especially during these last days. We live in a time, first of all, and I'm going to come back to this, we live in a time where we might not even leave the parking lot before the Lord takes us home. I could take my next breath in heaven. We don't know when our time is. We can't say we're going to, oh, I can get this all right tomorrow. We don't know that. And it's dangerous to live that way. So when we come together, it's because, number one, we're coming to worship our God. That's what praise and worship's about. Then we're coming to hear the word. Now, you see, Satan condemns, but Jesus convicts. And we need that convicting power. So when we hear the word's going to show us if we're lining up with the word or if we're off track. But if we don't come, we don't hear it. Or if we don't hear it, you know, we can hear it online. But I'm saying the reason we come together is because of these things, and also because we encourage one another in the faith. Because since we all are fighting battles, it's good to have a hug from a Christian friend, sister, brother. It's good. And we rejoice with those who are doing well, and we mourn with those who are grieving. And our church, I can say, is a family. We do that for one another. And I'm really happy to be a part of that. Nobody's competing for somebody else's position. Everybody's, when there needs to be a volunteer for something, we all get together and we all do. And you know, we don't have to be afraid to be ourselves here. We don't have to put on a mask. And I wouldn't anyway, but we don't have to, because we can be ourselves. Everybody accepts us as we are. So these are two important things. One, never let Satan isolate you. The minute you feel isolated, you better grab onto somebody, you know, that can grab onto the Lord for you. Amen? Because you're already in trouble. When we know from just a little bit that when a husband or a man, a person, wants to control a woman, what does he do? One of the first things that he does is he isolates her from her family and from all her close friends. Why? Because these people are going to speak into her life, and he doesn't want that. Amen. Because she might get away. You know what I'm saying? So that's how Satan works. That's satanic. So don't let yourself, whether you're listening here or online, do not let yourself be isolated. And don't ever feel isolated, because we can feel isolated because of some places we're in. You know, the Lord does have some places, you know, we walking with the Lord, we're learning things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about it's dangerous. And you can tell the difference. Now, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 10. verses 38 and 39, and I'm reading it with the commentary. Now the just shall live by faith. And the commentary says, faith in Christ and the cross. But if any man draw back, the commentary says, proclaims the fact that such can be done and refers to believers transferring their faith from Christ and the cross to other things. And listen, it doesn't necessarily have to be bad things. There's so much to distract us today. We have to purpose in our hearts to stay anchored to the cross, to what Jesus did for us. We have to stay anchored. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. The commentary says, as should be obvious, God is grieved over the conduct of any person who would do such. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. The commentary says, Paul is saying that he is not going to draw back, and that those who do will lose their souls. But of them who believe to the saving of the soul, and the commentary says, believe in Christ and him crucified. Now, hold on with me for just a second, because I wanted to say something. Okay, there's this little song that's very old, and it's, though none go with me, I will follow. And that's the mentality that we have to have. If we have somebody who's not willing to go with us, that's between them and God. But we have the purpose that we're going to go with him, that we're going to follow him, that we're going to do everything that he tells us to do, the way he tells us to do it, and when he tells us to do it. There's one more scripture that I want us to go to, and it's Revelation chapter 2. Unless the Lord leads otherwise, there's one more. And this is speaking to the church in Ephesus. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. You see that last song we sang about, oh Lord, how beautiful? That had these words in it. It had about our first love. And the commentary says, not lost your first love, but rather left your first love. God does not leave us. We leave him. He hasn't moved. We leave him. And we leave him in our hearts before we leave him in our bodies. It refers to departure from the cross and is so serious that it will lead the church to ruin unless repentance is forthcoming. And that's another thing. There is a teaching, a good friend of mine, I probably told y'all this before, but I was so floored, a well-known pastor of a well-known church said that the way they believed, and she emphatically told me, once you repent one time, you never have to repent again. I beg to differ. The Bible says that all sin and fall short of his glory. We are living in a world that we best be repenting. What happens if we don't? All this builds up. Listen, in one day alone, we could be sinning. Because listen, even the very motives of our hearts can be sinful if it's not right. So we are deceiving ourselves if we think we don't have a need to repent. And I do this every morning. That's one of the first things I do. I kneel down before the Lord as it's my, now listen, this is my way, okay? I'm not suggesting anybody do this way, but I'm just telling you what I do. I bow before the Lord. I have a place where I pray because I want to humble myself. I want the Lord to know that I'm humbling myself before him. And I ask him to shine his light upon me. And I ask him to show me if there is any wicked way in me, whether it's in word, in deed, or in thought. I ask him to forgive me and cleanse me and lead me into the way of everlasting life. And then I welcome his Holy Spirit, and I ask his Holy Spirit to convict me where I need to be convicted. Teach me what he wants me to learn. Show me what he wants me to see. Because, you see, we need to be willing to be convicted. If we think that we can do things our way and still be okay with God, we're fooling ourselves. We're fooling ourselves. And if we're open to being convicted, he's going to convict us. And trust me, to whom much is given, much is required. Where somebody else might get away with that, you're not getting away with it. The more you know about God, the less you're going to get away with. Because he's going to require you to set the example. Remember, therefore, from whence you are fallen. The commentary says this means they fell from grace, which means they had stopped depending on Christ and the cross. Listen, if we think we can do life without God in this life, we are sadly mistaken. We're going to get devoured. We're going to get chewed up and spit out. And repent and do the first works. The commentary says, go back to the cross, or else I will come unto you quickly and will remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent. And that song had something to say about the light too. Jesus is the light. Satan comes as an angel of light. He is not the light. But he tricks us to believe he is the light. He's not. He's not. The commentary says Christ is the source of the light, but the cross is the means. They are to come back to the cross, or else the light will be removed. We will only go so far before there will be repercussions for our behavior. And listen, this is the time to get things right with the Lord. Who wants to be here when he's taking his bride? I don't want to be here. If he's ready for me, I want to go. And I want others to come with me. So this is what I want us to do today. I have a song, but before that, I'm going to talk for a little. I have some more things to say, but this is what I want to do. I know that Pastor Joe always wants to give an opportunity for salvation. We're going to do that for everybody. We're going to give an opportunity for salvation, rededication, an infilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I want to let the listeners know, because they're not going to hear this song. I want to tell them so they can do this at home. I want to open up the altars. And I want us to come as we are, whatever it is. The song starts out like this. Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. And then it says, so lay down your burdens. Lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home. Now, this is not directed to anybody. But if you feel it's directed to you, that's what matters. So when we play this song, I'll pray with whoever wants prayer. But if you just want to simply kneel, and it's given anything that's broken. And it's also asking the Lord to forgive us for him not being first, because it's not hard to put him second or third or fourth. It's not hard in the lives we live because life is busy. But we have to take time, no matter if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, no matter what it is, we have to make time for him. Listen, the Bible says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things are going to be added. If we put him first, we will lack nothing, because he will show us and he will provide for us. Okay? So before we, they'll know this, but the first prayer we're going to pray, And what I'm going to do for this prayer, salvation, rededication, and infilling, we can all pray together. And then we'll do the next thing, okay? So let's bow our heads. And what I want to ask is that if you never have received the Lord, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to ask the Lord to baptize in His Holy Spirit. And then we'll go on to the next thing. Father, let's all repeat this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to be my Lord and be my Savior. I ask you to baptize me with your Holy Spirit and with your fire, that I can be and do all that you would have me to. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the next thing we're going to do, we're going to go into the song. And so for those listening,